Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Braille Buzz. My name is Paul Edwards, and I am your host and immediate past president of the Braille Revival League. And to welcome us and say whatever else you might want to, it gives me great pleasure to introduce the current president of BRL, Miss Denise Colley.
Thank you. Thank you, Paul. First of all, I just want to say welcome to anyone who has, if this is your first time on the Braille Buzz, we absolutely welcome you. We're excited to have you, and we hope that what we share tonight will entice you to want to come back. The Braille Buzz meets every other month at 8:30, and so it's let's see. Oh, is that the thing? What are the even months and what are the odd months?
We meet on the even ones.
On the even months, thank you.
Yep.
We got e meet on the even months, and we have a different topic each time. So please come back and join us. For all of you who have been here and are old timers, welcome, welcome, welcome. I think we have a good program for you tonight. I want to thank Paul for putting it together as usual. And I turn it back over to you, Mr. Edwards.
And I turn it back over to our illustrious treasurer, Miss Jane Corona.
Okay. I've forgotten the keystroke to figure out how many people are participating in it. I keep forgetting that, so I don't know. But
I'll
I've
tell you.
looked, and there are some people who are not members of BRL. Some of you are, some of you aren't. But we'd love to have those of you who aren't join the Braille Revival League. And membership in BRL is $10 per calendar year. There is also a life membership for $200, and you can pay that in 10 installments if you'd like to. Let's see. Membership entitles each member to receive 3 issues of our award-winning magazine, the BRL Memorandum. The last issue was 102 pages in Braille because I just Brailled it out for somebody and I had to get a 2-inch binder to bind the thing. Anyway, it was huge. So, let's see. Also, we offer for sale a refrigerator magnet that's $5 and says Braille gives feeling to words. And we have 5 game books. They have each one has 9 word puzzles in it, and each volume they're the 5 of them. Each volume is $5. That's right. So the whole bundle is 25. We have 6 state affiliates. You can either join as a member at large of BRL or join through one of the state affiliates, and those are in California, Florida, Pennsylvania, New York, Illinois, and Texas. Got them.
Ta-da!
Got
She
them.
did it. She
Yes.
did
The
it. Good job.
senility is not setting in yet. There are several ways that you can join BRL. The quickest way is to call me with credit card information. I'll give all my contact information at the end. The quickest way is to call me with credit card information. That way I can make sure I've got all of your information correct. You could go to our website, BrailleRevivalLeague.org, and there's a membership form on there, and that will take you to PayPal to pay your $10 yearly fee. We don't have it so that you can do the life membership on that form yet. We need to fix that. But you could also just send a PayPal payment to treasurer at braillerevivalleague.org. You could also send me a check if you'd like to, but that's probably the least popular way anymore. Again, I'm Jane Carona, Carona, and my phone number is 301-598-2131. And if you can't remember that, you can just send me an email to treasurer at braillerevivalleague.org or braillerevivalleague at gmail.com, whichever sticks in your head the most. the best way. I think that's it. We very much look forward to everybody joining. And of course, we've got the Braille Buzz every other month, and all our board meetings are open to all our members. We send it out to all of the members and the announcement of all of our board meetings. And if anybody has any more questions about the Braille Revival League or would like to join, please feel free to either call or email me. Thank you.
And
And we
Jane,
currently have 35 participants.
that's what I just started to tell her. So
What is that keystroke again? I'll write it down next time.
you have to do shift tab like
But there's an insert
No,
something.
you don't.
Not
Do
an
insert, go into, you have to go into the participant list and then do insert T goes to
insert
the,
T.
yes.
Yes, I'm going to write it down.
And it doesn't work on every computer.
No.
So if it works on yours, great. If
It
it
does.
does, it does not
Pretty
work on
awesome.
mine.
It works awesome.
Mr. Edwards, would you like me to give the commands for anybody that might not know what they are because we can't screen share?
Go ahead.
All right. If you're on a computer, on a PC, it's Alt Y to raise your hand for yes. Alt A to mute and unmute. If you're on a Mac, it's Option Y to raise your hand. To mute and unmute is Command Shift A. If you're on an iPhone, it's under Reactions on the bottom right or More Options on the bottom right. Open that up and double tap on Raise Your Hand. Bottom left is Mute and Unmute. And if you're on a regular keypad, it's Star 9 to raise your hand and Star 6 to mute and unmute.
And by regular keypad, she means on a telephone
On a
keypad.
keypad,
Correct.
telephone
Yeah.
keypad.
Yeah.
All right, crowd.
Thank you, Ms. Sheila. So we had initially scheduled to do the first thing we're going to do at our June meeting, and then we decided to cancel it because there was an ACB event that we felt it was important for our members to be able to be at. I think we were doing resolutions or something like that, but
We
it
were.
Yeah, and we had BRL resolutions, I think, actually on that night. So we felt like it was important for our folks to be there and help us get those resolutions through. And by the way, two of the resolutions for BRL Lua passed, and the third one got tabled and was never removed from the table. And frankly, in terms of the way it turned out after it got through the resolutions committee, it wasn't a big loss. So, all right. But what we had intended to do in June was to talk a little bit about something that I think is important and interesting. Decisions about how Braille gets taught are, for the most part, made by educators, who run university programs. Most of the folks who run university programs, in fact, I can't think of anyone who is currently in charge of a university program who is blind. So virtually all of the people who run those programs are sighted. There certainly have been some blind professors, and some of those blind professors have probably been the folks in those programs who have taught Braille. But a lot of the books that have been published about how Braille ought to be taught and who try to provide folks with information about Braille who are studying to become teachers of the visually impaired are written by people who can see. It has always seemed to me that the experts on Braille are not the folks who are educators. Because their Braille reading, and I don't mean to insult them, but their Braille reading leaves a good deal to be desired. I don't know of a single sighted teacher who is a good Braille reader. Somebody's going to correct me, and I will be overjoyed if it happens, but I would be kind of surprised if it did. So who knows best how Braille ought to be taught? Well, it seems to me that some of those of us who are here certainly have some ideas about what makes sense in terms of Braille teaching. We can remember how we were taught Braille. We can remember the good, the bad, and the ugly that was involved in doing that. And I think we can appropriately share with folks here what are the components in terms of the way we learn Braille that made the most sense to us, and what were the things that drove us absolutely crazy. Now, it is possible that this whole topic will fall flat on its face. I hope it doesn't, because I think that all of us who are Braille readers and all of us who really value Braille have had lots of time to think about what's appropriate in terms of the way that we learn Braille and the way that we study Braille and the way that we believe others should teach it. Potentially, if we do a good enough job tonight, we might, in fact, turn some of what we talk about tonight into an article for the Braille Memorandum that would actually talk to teachers about things that we believe are important to recognize as we move forward in terms of getting Braille taught. One of the things that has always amazed me is with Braille in particular, I have heard all kinds of people who teach it say, well, I taught him how to read Braille, but he didn't learn it. So when I hear someone say that, what I generally believe is you didn't teach him how to read Braille. Because if you had taught him how to read Braille, he would have learned it. So I think that's enough of an introduction to the topic, and let us see where it goes. So we are lucky enough to have Ms. Sheila Young as our host, and I'm hoping that within the next minute or two, there will be some hands up. If not, I have 17 ideas in terms of improving the way that Braille is taught, and I will talk about some of those, but I certainly don't want to monopolize stuff. So, Miss Sheila, do we have any hands?
You do, Liz.
Liz, Miss Bowden.
Okay, I'm going to do the good part, and then I'm going to do the bad part.
Yep.
Okay, the good part was how I got taught. I was taught when I was four, and we used, I think it was from APH, it was the match game. And it was these keyboards, I mean, little game board things, and they had the alphabet in raised print and Braille, and you had to match up all the letters. So she'd mix them all up, you know, and then I'd pick one, and she'd make me read the letter and then put it on the board. And then as we got older, you know, of course, the contractions and stuff we learned in school, like around second grade, and it was pure memorization and writing sentences and stuff with the contractions.
Mm-hmm.
Now I have to argue with you about people, sighted people that read Braille that weren't very good. My mom was great.
Excellent.
She could read as fast in Braille as she could in print almost.
Whoa.
In her heyday. She can't do it now, but she still can. And she actually, I don't know what's the matter with her now, but she forgot how to put the stuff in the Braille writer. So she uses a slate to write, and she still does pretty good.
Oh my goodness, that is amazing.
So she writes all my cards and everything still, and everybody brings her theirs most of the time for her to
write. This is a good question, Liz. This is Michael. Now, my question is, whenever your mom taught you how to read, and whenever she could read, would she read with her fingers or with her eyes when it was talking about Braille?
She actually got a student from the St. Augustine School over the summer to teach me. And then she got another student to teach her. And then she taught all the adults that wanted lessons in my, you know, that was part of my low vision resource room.
But my question is, did your mom read? So she didn't use
sighted.
The fingers. Okay.
No, she was
Thank
sighted.
You.
They didn't. We had a little rolling library of books that my teacher had bought from APH. my mother and grandmother sat there and made print braille books out of all of them.
Nice.
There probably was 40 books in there that they did. I still have one. So, you know, not all of them are bad. But so the way to not teach braille is how the people were in a place where I used to work did it. It was so involved. They'd got, you know, those little mats from the dollar store, the slippy slide-proof mats. They tell people whenever you practice, you got to use a mat. You have to take out the paper that you're practicing on and put it on the mat. And you have to get,
Julie, calling
if,
your
it,
line.
If it's plastic.
Yes, we did speak yesterday.
If it's plastic,
go ahead,
you have
please.
To put powder on your hands so they'll slide.
Oh, my goodness.
Then they taught them in shapes, like with silly putty. So, like, the I was a straight thing. The A was a little blob. The B was a little shorter one. And the T was this squirrely little worm-looking thing. So they didn't even use the dot numbers. And those people were so confused when it was through. They only had one person that ended up, you know, going on past there. And the only reason why she did was because I encouraged her to get a braille device, like a braille note, and practice herself.
Excellent. Thank you very much, Liz.
You're welcome.
Appreciate it. And we'll perhaps hear from you later when we try to decide what we're going to do with BRL. Ms. Sheila.
Carla.
Oh, boy, I could write a book, I'll tell
yeah.
you.
Yeah.
And I did,
the McMurray, Pennsylvania person.
In fact, I
You've
did write a
books
book.
Already.
Yeah, I wrote this book when I was in college. They asked me to teach the special ed students Braille, and I wrote this book. It was Getting in Touch, a comprehensive handbook for or survey of modern English Braille. And what I did with them was I started with tactile discrimination, started with jumbo.
Oh.
Carla, you muted yourself somehow. You want to go to the next 10 and let her come back?
Yeah.
Area code 573, ending in 440. Could you unmute and tell us who you are, please?
Rick Andrus, back in the hinterlands of Jeffersonian City, Missouri.
All right, sir.
And,
welcome.
I've been with BRL for some time. I'm also involved with the I Love Braille and I Learn Braille sessions through East Bay Center for the Blind.
Excellent.
And the first thing I'd say is, well, you all know about Professor Valeen Shah, and he's wonderful.
Yep.
He does in-person hard copy courses in uncontracted and contracted Braille. The contracted Braille course is out now. He has a, you might say, sidekick named Linda Pekarski. I don't know if you know her, but she has taught Braille for a long time. I think she's blind. And she's fabulous with little pointers in how to teach and how to make it fun. If you don't have any, I don't have her contact info, but I'm sure Valeen can give it to you if that's okay with her. Anyway, my mother taught me Braille, and I also had an elementary school teacher who could teach Braille, and they were both sighted, of course. And read it, I think, visually, but read it quite well. And one of the things that my parents did is when they were teaching me, they nailed text into baby blocks in the shapes of the letters before I was ready to feel the little bitty cells. And that was helpful. I didn't experience this, but I've been told that some teachers use tennis balls on 6-cup muffin tins.
Uh-huh.
To represent the dots, or egg cartons, like one half of the egg carton for the 6 positions.
And so do you think that those things make sense as teaching approaches?
Seems true to me. It wasn't tried with me. I heard about it only more recently, but it sounds logical. Especially if you're not ready for the to feel the small, the small cells. They didn't feel like little scratches on paper at first. They sure did for me.
Do you read books and magazines now?
Absolutely.
Excellent. Thank you very much, sir.
Over.
Marissa.
Good evening, everyone. I'm so happy to be here. I was born and I was born in Bosnia and I learned Braille at the age of, six at the School for the Blind in Sarajevo, which is Bosnia's capital. So, we learned strictly from a book. Like each letter lesson we had to practice writing the letters first and then reading. And then so we did that, and then once we got to know more, once we added more letters, then there would be a text following the lines of letters that we were supposed to practice reading. So we learned strictly from the book. We didn't use any other methods like using a muffin tin or anything like that. Fortunately, from grade from first to seventh grade, we were blessed to have a house mother who herself was blind. And therefore, she was visually impaired, and it was extremely important to her that all of her pupil in her class read and wrote Braille well. So she would throughout the week, she would spend time with each of us individually, and she wanted to know how. She assessed our Braille reading skills and our Braille writing skills. The Braillers that we used, they were of poor quality because they used like a thread that was wound around like the a wheel, and those threads would break easily. So the long short of it is the best Brailler that I have ever come across, there's no other Brailler, better Brailler than the Perkins Brailler. That to me is the best and the most and the high quality Braille.
Yeah,
so that was the good part. The bad
I don't
part,
think there's anybody who would disagree with you about the Perkins Brailler.
good. Yeah, because I don't know what people here heard about Braillers in Europe, but from what I've seen prior to Perkins Brailler, I would say you're not missing anything but not having
right.
by not having access to any other Braillers.
And most of the Braillers that are now being used in Europe are Perkins Braillers anyway, I think.
Yes, definitely. That I can tell you for sure that's the case in Germany. Not sure in any other countries, but yeah, last country that I lived in when I lived in Europe was Germany. And yes, they exclusively used, Perkins Braillers at, the schools for the blind.
So I have one more question before you get on to the bat. Did you learn contractions while you were in school, or what did you just use the alphabet?
So when I was in school, back in Bosnia, we used the alphabet. The Braille contractions I learned 25 years ago when I came to the States. I was taught by my TVI at the time.
Right. Yeah, but I wanted to make clear to folks that there are a lot of Braille codes. in different countries that just use the alphabet and a couple of other letters that may be part of the Bosnian language that aren't a part of our alphabet. But for the most part, they don't use contractions.
Yes, that would be correct during the time period that I was there. Yes.
Right. Excellent. Please go ahead. And I'm sorry if I'm interrupting you.
Oh, no worries. No worries. I'm happy to share. So the bad part that I'd say that goes for Bosnia and Germany, where I used to live. Oh, and Croatia. Let me not forget Croatia. So is that they taught us how to use a brailler, which is great, but during the time I was there, they did not teach us how to use the slated stylus. And they really should have, I feel, looking back at it now, I think they really should have taught us how to use the slated stylus first before they moved on to the brailler. But I'm slow with the slate and stylus, but I want to improve my speed. And I recently I like writing things with a regular slate and stylus, and I recently purchased the Versa erasable slate and stylus, which I am a huge fan of.
Yep. Thank you very much. We appreciate all of your input. Thank you, Miss Sheila.
Artis.
Okay, there it goes. I was not born blind. I became blind when I was 20. So my experience is obviously a little different from those of you who've been blind, you know, since birth. I went to a rehab center and they had a communication specialist where I, you know, learned, you know, all kinds of things, typing better, which I was a good typist anyway, and, you know, money and all that jazz. But she was also the Braille teacher. Now, she was sighted, but I learned Braille really quickly. She basically did the system where they had a booklet that would have like the 6-cell Braille thing. And then beside it, it would have like letter A, and then it would do the 6 Braille thing and then have the letter B, et cetera. So, you know, so you could kind of see how it lined up and so forth. Mm-hmm. And then after a few letters, you know, she would write words, you know, so you could work and read the words and so forth. But, I learned really quickly. I mean, I was in rehab for like 3.5 mm-hmm. months, and I learned both the alphabet and the contractions. So obviously she did a good job. She seemed to be able to read the Braille well. Now, to be honest, I don't know if she read with her hands. She probably read by sight. You know,
I'm guessing. Yep.
You know. But I thought just having it there that I could go back to the different letters compared with the 6L, that's, you know, worked well for me.
Now, were you allowed to take your book home?
Yes.
Yep. So that was a good thing.
Right. And when I first started learning Braille, she asked me why I'd want to learn Braille. And I had always been an avid reader, always read several books a week. And the biggest thing for me was marking things. I had a big record collection, and I was always liked to cook. So I wanted to be able to, you know, write recipes, and I wanted to be able to mark things. And so I really wanted to learn as quickly as I could. So I think motivation obviously is always a good thing. And if I would suspect it's the same way as a child, if they're motivated, they're going to learn it a lot quicker. I know my husband's were all low vision, and none of them ever learned to read Braille well, you know, and I think they felt, you know, they were forced to do sleep shades and, you know, that kind of stuff. And so they always peeked, you know, and just never learned it. So I don't know how you can get around that. And, you know, if people still have enough vision to read print, it's, you know, hard to get them very motivated. So anyway, I just wanted to share that.
and you still have quite a bit of usable vision, don't you, artists?
Oh, I don't have any vision.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, no. I lost my sight totally in a car accident when I was 20.
Yep. You do well.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Excellent. And Madam President, do you have any questions for artists about her experience? Or I'm putting Denise in a bad place. Miss Artis, thank you very much for the feedback. It really is interesting because artists is an example of the kind of people who we think ought to learn Braille, and certainly what she's suggesting is that as an adult you certainly can, and learn it well enough that it can be pretty usable and pretty useful. So all of those people who say, and there are many who do, that adults can't learn Braille because they're too old, need to just talk to artists a few times. Miss Sheila.
I do have a question for artists. I'm sorry, I couldn't get unmuted.
Yes, go ahead. Yep.
Artists, I'm just curious. When, you know, after you lost your vision and you started looking at, you know, what services were out there, did you know anything about Braille at that time, or what was your first reaction when, you know, they talked about, you know, the possibility of your learning Braille?
Oh, no, I was well aware of it. I had a great aunt who was in her, I don't know, 70s at the time, and she read Braille, and she also got books, I mean, not books, yeah, books on record. And, you know, she'd show me and my sisters and brother the Braille on the record just so that she could know, you know, what record she was playing. And then I also, there was a gentleman in my church who was also retired, so he was older, and our family went to his place after church one time, and I remembered him showing us some of his Braille books that he read. So I was aware of it, you know, when I lost my sight. I just wasn't aware of the independence thing because, you know, both of those are retired and both of them always were with other people, that kind of thing. So,
yep. That's excellent. Miss Artis, thank you.
No problem.
Miss Sheila.
And I'm another one of those adults that learned Braille as an adult. So.
So talk to us about that.
No, you got 100 hands. All right. Miss Dawn. Dawn Bildage.
Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
We can.
Okay, so I have a few things to say about Braille. I've been a Braille reader for about 25 years, give or take. I started learning it when I was 6 months old, and I'm 27 now. And I think the people that should decide how Braille is taught are the people that are using it, eating it, living it, breathing it, sleeping it. I eat Braille breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And pretty much, so my mom taught herself Braille so she could teach me how to read it. She did it through Hadley, and then she taught me with flashcards. And then I had to learn the new Braille code. So I took the course transitioning to EB, and I took the everyday reading course from Hadley. And I'm also, I use Braille displays and all kinds of different things every single day. And I say flashcards are a really good way to do it, but you also have to meet the student where they are and what resources they have. And I could also say I have some experience with the foreign language stuff because in high school, when I was in school, you had to take foreign language. You had to take 2 years of foreign language at least. And I chose Spanish. And, well, we were kind of scrambling because if I would have tried to in Spanish, then it would have been like I was back in kindergarten again and back to square one. We had to do my Spanish braille in English.
Oh, my goodness.
It was kind of insane, but we got through it. But I think, you know, but that's it. But the thing is, I, you know, mom braille books and stuff for me when I, you know, she did all that too. And,
wow.
But the thing is, not a lot of schools want to give access to kids with that. My school district fought her tooth and nail, didn't want to sign an application for me to get free braille books. And until we got somebody from my state school for the blind in Ohio to come down here and like, why aren't you guys signing this thing for her? Like, what happened? So we just didn't have a lot of that. They wanted to put stuff on tape until she fought him, and she fought him until they finally were just like, okay, we don't want to deal with this woman anymore.
Yep.
So I can tell you that I think Braille's important and it needs to be there. And I also help out and volunteer and teach, you know, stuff where and when I can, especially with the e-readers. And I, along with Rick and another person on this call, our fellow I Love Brailler as well. So
That's excellent. That's excellent. And you guys are demonstrating, and it's, I think it's important to say that you're demonstrating the fact that it really is possible to learn Braille online, to teach Braille online, so that so many people who can't get the resources to learn Braille in maybe a local rehab agency do have the option of using something like I Love Braille or indeed some of the other programs that are on community with regard to Braille, where they can not only learn it but practice it and be welcomed with it. So, you know, one of the things that we are proudest of in BRL is all of you guys who are working in I Love Braille and who are working with other community programs with regard to Braille, because you guys are making a difference for a whole new generation of Braille readers, and we really want to say thank you very much to you guys.
Hey, I'm happy to be a part of that, and I'm happy to, you know, be that volunteer. And this is something that I do on top of the advocacy work that I do for disability rights. And if I didn't have my Braille, I couldn't do even half, if not any, of the advocacy work that I do. And it's
excellent. Excellent. So thank you for your call.
You're welcome.
Miss Sheila.
Tina.
Ah, Miss Tina. A voice from the other side. You're a rehab teacher, aren't you, Miss Tina?
You're still muted, Tina.
Dum 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 dum. She's just taking a deep breath so she can blast me. I can see it coming. Dun, 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 dun.
I just sent her up. Asked to unmute.
Oh, sorry about that.
There you go.
There
she is.
My phone wasn't terribly cooperating. I hope I don't have a whole lot of background noise because I'm actually sitting over here in a restaurant.
You're good.
Listening to you guys. Huh?
You're good. We can hear you just fine, Miss Tina.
Right on. Cool. Just let me know if I have any background noise. But yep. So anyway, my mom, I'm noticing a theme here. My mom also learned Braille so that she could teach me. I was 3 when I was first introduced to Braille through the special education system in St. Louis. And so the first experience I remember about Braille was reading one of the print/Braille, what they used to call twin vision books in, from the library. And so I learned that pairing of the, you know, hey, these dots mean something, you know? And I was just fascinated and I was like, wow, this is cool. And then I love fuzzy. I always say that's my favorite color. So what my mom did was she took poster board and 8.5 by 11 pieces so that she could glue fabric and stuff to make me tactile pictures. Cool. And then she put a word in felt dots below that and little, you know, punched out. I don't even remember how big they were because my hands were tiny back then. But she put little words at the bottom saying what the object was. And that was so cool. And I have them in my head. I wish I could have access to them again because I think we gave them back to the school system because they wanted other people to learn with them. But oh my God, that was so much fun. And we'd sing little songs and stuff. It was just lots of fun. I just have a big smile on my face just even remembering about all that. And then we went to the flashcards and did more of the print braille where she'd read to me and I'd, you know, put my hands on the page and then we'd track lines together and stuff. And
yep.
So she made it really, really fun. And so she was my, well, let's see, I had a teacher and when I was like 5 in kindergarten and she would give me the, you know, like Bob and Kay books and whatever the heck, you know, see Jack Runner or whoever.
Yep, yep. Know,
and all that kind of stuff. And then
Dick and Jane.
Yeah, yeah, that, yeah. And then in first grade, I moved schools because they didn't want to continue, you know, instruction with me in that school district, which was kind of weird. So my mom banged the bushes and, you know, found another school district that would work with me. And so she was my transcriber for the first couple of years for, you know, books and things. And then along about third grade, you know, the teacher realized, hey, I wasn't going to be moving anytime soon. So by God, I'd get, you know, instruction, you know, and stuff. So that was cool. And so, you know, I had access to, you know, textbooks and stuff up until about the fourth grade. And then we moved around a lot after that. And so things were a little more sporadic. But I love Braille. And I do, you're right, I do teach Braille. And fortunately, I love the students who are voracious readers who want to learn contractions because I have a few of them. I also have the people that just want to learn the alphabet for labeling, and that's okay. But
yep.
I love the people who really get engaged and just want to read, you know. I have a person reading Harry Potter right now. I have a person reading the Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe because she read it when she was little, and she read me a whole chapter on Monday. I was, like, super excited.
Oh, that is so cool.
And so I love the Braille displays and the e-readers because I think those are one of the new ways to have people have access to a lot of Braille that they want. And so I've actually been using that with some of my beginning readers once they learn most of the alphabet to download uncontracted books and have access to those. And, you know, then they don't have to wait for the library and stuff. And then they do use, some of them do use the Braille on demand service. One of my clients is getting the whole Harry Potter and stuff. So she has a Braille bookshelf, a bookshelf full of Braille books. And so we have fun. I love the Braille caravan blocks. And I wish that, I think that was done by the Creative Adaptations for Learning. And those are the little blocks where you can push the dots up and down.
Yes.
And I hope that NBP, I think that's where they went once the other company, you know, was no more. And I hope they design those again because those have gotten a lot of my students engaged because they can make the letters themselves and, you know, they don't have to be a perfectionist about, hey, you're wasting paper just practicing. And I'm like, well, practice anyway. I love the Versus Slate, and that really gets people motivated also. And, but yeah, we've gotten a lot of mileage from the e-readers in the last couple of years just because, you know, they give people access to books they want to read, you know. And some of the materials we have, you know, in hard copy aren't necessarily always what people want to read. So, you know, people are getting a really big kick out of those, so I'm really glad to see that. But I didn't actually have a lot of Braille access through high school, but my parents read a bunch to me. And then I also had some math, you know, in high school. Not a whole lot, but every once in a while. And but I'm really passionate also about tactile diagrams, and I think you just need more of them. And I miss some of the thermoform diagrams that I used to be able to find in textbooks and stuff, because those are really cool.
Those used to be fun.
Yeah.
Probably there are a bunch of younger people who have no idea what we mean by thermoform, because I don't think anybody's using it anymore.
I think they're using it a couple places, but it's not nearly as prevalent anymore.
Yeah.
Just because the computer-generated stuff is maybe a little easier, but it's not quite as exacting.
Well, and people think it feels better, too. There are a lot of people who didn't like thermoform paper.
Yeah, but I don't like the bubble paper either. That kind of feels weird to me. It's
yep.
weird, but rubber texture, it's kind of strange.
Yeah, I agree.
But anyway, the slate and stylus was a super important thing to me.
Yep.
I had access to one to play with it, you know, like in first grade, and I always got the Z backwards.
I'm
and be so frustrated.
Get to talk that long as much as she does.
And then,
do you use the slate and stylus when you're teaching now?
Yes. Yep. We sure do. And sometimes the Brailler, but the Brailler I use as kind of a motivator to have them improve their slate and stylus skills because, I mean, the Brailler is easy, but then it's not very portable, you know. And
yep.
so,
yep.
I try to get people engaged with the slate before the Brailler just because otherwise, you know, then they're like, well, I'll just use it, you know, when I'm here or whatever. But yeah, so we do that. And then, let's see, I was going to say, I also learned some grade 3 when I was in sixth grade just because I wanted to take on the slate, you know, as I was growing up, because I'm in my 50s, and so computers weren't really much of a thing back then.
They
my first
weren't.
Introduction to paperless Braille was the Versa Braille, and I thought that was
nice.
The coolest thing ever, but the battery would always go, and then
it would.
I know, oh my God. So I went back to the slate for the most part.
Yep.
until I got my Braille Institute.
Yep.
And then, but yeah, so much of this stuff is so much fun. And so I just am a super big advocate for Braille and labeling and doing whatever you need to. I mean, I love my phone, but you know, there's I mean, I guess the thing is, if you can think in Braille, you can be literate. And even when I'm reading stuff on audio, I still think in Braille in terms of, okay, I wonder how that's spelled. And I picture it in my head.
How cool is that? I dream in Braille too.
Oh, cool. That's fun. Yeah, I think it's kind of weird though, because when I'm dreaming, I picture it in my head. It's less of a tactile than a spatial.
Yeah,
thing.
Yeah, but it's still in Braille.
Kind of weird. Yeah. It's kind of cool though. But I've listened to some of the I Love Braille stuff, and I think Violin is doing an awesome job over there with that.
Yep. Miss Tina, thank you so much for your call.
Well, thank you so much for having this as a topic. I just really can't say enough about it, and I bet we could probably fill the next several Braille buzzes with everybody's theories.
We probably could, and who knows, maybe
we
will.
Maybe we should. Yeah, that'd be great. Well, thank you very much for your.
You're welcome, Miss Tina. Thank
topic.
You.
Thanks. Yep.
How many hands do we have, Miss Sheila? Approximately, you don't have
12.
To count them. 12, you said.
Uh-huh.
Wow. Very good. Let's go on.
Sandy Edwards.
Ta-da. Arkansas. This is going to be a wonderful contribution. Just look at that last name.
Sandy Starson. There you are.
Sandy.
I finally got muted. Got muted.
Yeah.
Okay, when I was in first grade, well, I learned Braille in kindergarten over at the School for the Blind. And back then, they were pretty progressive about how they taught kids, you know, especially the younger children, about Braille. And I learned all the letters in kindergarten. And my mom learned Braille with me. I mean, she went, the teacher taught her, because the next year, I was in Fort Leavenworth, Kansas. My dad was in a military school, it's the Command and General Staff College up there for a year.
Yep.
And I went to a public school, the School for the Blind in Kansas was about 24 miles away. And back in 1960, that was quite a distance.
Mm-hmm.
It really isn't now. You can get from that distance, you know, like from here to Conway.
Right.
But
right.
Anyway, I went to this public school there on the base, and I was in a classroom with 31 other students in the first grade, and the teacher about went crazy trying to teach me, you know, because I couldn't see. But we made it through. My mom brailled all my textbooks. She didn't know that she could have gotten them from the school, but we made it through. And I didn't learn the signs, a lot of the signs, until I got back to Little Rock in second grade. And that way that we had the signs were talked to us totally blind kids as we grew. You know, we had different ones or different grades and stuff. So, yeah, I mean, I could see advantages and disadvantages to both, you know, going for a child going to a public school and for going to a school for the blind.
Mm-hmm.
Because in public school, I lived at home. I played with the kids in the neighborhood and had a blast that whole year. You know, I still can remember it snowed a lot that year, and I remember us going to the top of a hill right behind our row of houses.
Mm-hmm.
And sliding down on our sleds, you know, and that was fun.
Yep.
But anyway, and when I was in the third grade, I know, in the first grade, I really didn't learn any technical stuff with Braille because my first grade teacher didn't know how to do it.
Right.
So I just kind of went along, and I was in the fast reading group. And
nice.
Yeah, I read. You know, my kindergarten teacher told my mother that she was going to have a hard time keeping me in reading material, even at that age. So, and we had no aides, no Braille teachers, no nothing.
Right.
That was before all of that. And I can commend that first grade teacher for putting up with me, because, you know, we were, it's sink or swim. And
I think we're going to have to start giving an award that we just named the Mother's Award. I'm just amazed at how many moms were instrumental in making Braille happen for kids. That is pretty amazing. Miss Sandy, thank you so much for your call.
You're welcome.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Ralph.
Mr. Smitherman.
All right. I learned Braille when I was in the first grade. I had a wonderful first grade teacher named Miss Sarah LePred. She was low vision, so she knew Braille inside out. Gradual progression to learn the contractions and things of that ilk. Also with the mathematics, no problem, but it was structured through the School for the Blind in Mississippi back in the 60s and 70s. Unfortunately, it seems, since Mississippi has 137 school districts, that most parents want to keep their children at home. And several years ago, Mississippi had 7 itinerant Braille teachers who would have to travel the state to all these school districts. So I don't know the answer to solve that issue, but that's where the rubber hits the road, as it were. I think the e-readers will really help promote the use of Braille, because we know that Braille is bulky and it takes up a lot of space on bookshelves and such. So that's really, if we can somehow get the word out to everybody who needs it, that would make such a big difference, I think. I think it really would. But there's one funny story about Miss LaPrade. When I see her, she still calls me, "You're one of my boys." Yeah, getting to be an old man now, but I'm still one of her boys. She's still alive. Believe it, she's in her 90s now.
Excellent.
And she was a terrific teacher. And she told me that, Ralph, when you were in the first grade before Christmas, you wanted to play, but after Christmas, you settled down. So I chuckled with that because, like I said, she was a great teacher. Thanks.
Well, and it's also nice of you to go and see her as a teacher. I think that's pretty exciting. One of the things that I'll say also about Ralph is Ralph came late to the electronic Braille world. I think he had not had an opportunity to play much with electronic Braille until he got an e-reader from the Library of Congress. But he took to it like a duck to water. I think Ralph is reading books on a pretty regular basis now with his e-reader. Is that right, sir?
Yeah, I have about 13 books now on there, and plus one on a thumb drive. We won't talk about that. But also, I use it, Bluetooth it with your iPhone and read your emails and such. So
right.
That's the plus to that. That's the bonus that, if we get the word out to all these children who need, I need Braille and it's big and bulky, get the e-reader and, get it through NLS. They give them to you.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Mr. Ralph, thank you, sir.
Yes, sir.
Chelsea.
Hello.
Hello. Oh, hi, I'm here.
Good.
I'm new. Miss Tina dragged me along.
Oh, good. I'm glad she did. Welcome.
Yeah. Thank you. I won't repeat what a lot of people have said because a lot of people have said my experience already. I'll just say kind of what's different, and hopefully it'll be sort of quick. So I had a really good my parents were very good advocates. Unfortunately, neither of them had the patience to learn Braille, which is kind of annoying. But advocates for me in the school system. And then I had basically one TVI all the way through. And I learned Braille with the peg cell blocks and the memorizing the contractions and all of that. But one of the cool things that my TVI would do was when she would spell words, if there was a contraction, she would say the contraction like quicker, and that helped me write it down quicker, and that helped. I kind of wish the Amazon lady, I could program her to do that, because that would be cool.
That would be nice.
Yeah, that would be cool. But I credit her with teaching me Nemeth, and I won't wade into the debate right now, but you can pry Nemeth from my cold dead hands, because... I got really good at math, and so basically there was a point where my TVI was thinking about transitioning me to another teacher, and I was concerned. And she was like, "Well, I will make sure that they know the Nemeth code really well." And then, lo and behold, the next year I'm back.
Oh, good.
She also helped me. In German, she knew German, so that was helpful. That was the language I took. And then with Nemeth, she got me, I took it, but she got me to calculus. And from there, I went on to get a physics degree. I'm actually moving because I have three bookshelves right now. They're full. I don't have my calculus book, and I tutor it at local university, and calculus is the subject I tutor the most, so I need it. But the other thing I would say is, as a student who, I think there should be a research study done on, like, depriving blind kids of books and what it does to you, because
right.
As a student who had to give the note taker back every summer, I'm a writer, so that was really hard. I just, the fact that the government is giving away Braille displays is like, what universe are we in?
Yep. Yeah. Well, I appreciate a lot of what you said, and I have never understood how it is that school districts have gotten away with taking a kid's ability to be functional away during the summer. It happens all over the country, and it is absolutely frightening.
Like we had summer reading. I had to do it in audio.
Exactly. And who wants to do that? Yep, I'm with you. Are you still reading quite a lot in Braille?
Oh, yes.
Yep. Do you have an e-reader?
Yes, I have everything. The only thing I don't have yet is the graphics displays. I'm saving up and waiting.
There you go.
Because for me, that will change everything.
Yeah, you know enough about math that you could really make good use of them. I think there are a lot of us there, me included, who would think that a graphics Braille display would be pretty cool to have, but I wouldn't be able to make as much use of it as other people can. So I'm very admiring of you, and I don't know that I got your name. What is your name?
Oh, Chelsea.
Chelsea, thank you so much for calling, Chelsea.
The other thing really, yes. Really quick is I'm a member of BITS, and so they just did a programming course, and then I just took another one with data, and so I've been using the Braille display to code, obviously, and that's very helpful.
Excellent. You took the Python course?
Yes.
Nice. That is so excellent. That is so excellent. Well,
I'm a very big Braille person over here.
Excellent. Well, you got to join BRL now, Chelsea.
Yeah. The only, and I mean, it would be interesting to see. I think I'm the only one who's weird enough to do this. But because I have I would say half and half of my college textbooks, A, I got to keep them, which was amazing, but B, half of them I can get electronically, the other half I can't. And so I pay a lot of good money to insure them. And that part's rough. I'm kind of looking for strategies on how to work with that.
Yeah, we'll have to think about that. Ms. Chelsea, thank you for your call.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Ms. Sheila.
Melanie.
Hello. My mother turns 72 tomorrow, and she deserves one of those awards, and I wish I had one to give her, in addition to everything else I'm giving her. Through all the chaos and overwhelm and emotional hold, my mom had learned Braille for me with her eyes, and it was one of the most honorable things for her to have done. I don't know now if she could do it because I haven't needed her in over a decade, but it'd be interesting to test that.
Right.
As far as Braille teachers, a good friend and I was probably the 3 to 4 range when I started getting experience with Braille. I'll be 39 next month. And we had a teacher who would, when I would cry, when I would be in emotional distress, and I had so much more going on, of course, we didn't know about until recently, but she would deprive me of using the Perkins Brailler and reading Braille if I cried. And it was, do that, you know, and I am such a lover of Braille and supporter and advocate for it that it didn't help anything, you know. So
probably make me cry more.
It made me hold back and hold things in more because I was so dedicated to Braille and I was willing to do anything to stick with it. I have tactile synesthesia, so words and sounds and names actually form plastic shapes in my hands, and I'm not the only one who can do this congenitally blind.
And I was, that is so cool.
My mom thought early on that it was because of Braille, and I don't know because I was doing it even before I learned Braille, but now I'll feel every word spoken, every word someone speaks. If I'm interested in something, the name will just, I'll be reading it in Braille. And it got to the point after the use of so many Braille and speaks and Braille lights and Braille notes and things that when using a Perkins Brailler, I would hit C with space to try to read a line and be with space. And
it's there you go.
Wait a minute. What device are you using now?
But
I recently did get a Perkins Brailler from AT Guys, finally, after years of trying, and my good friend Larry Honecker trying to help me get one with affordability, and he was dedicated to helping me try to get one.
Nice.
I brailled 3 manuals in one night with the hand issues, the hearing, the processing for our personal good friend. And she contacted me after 9 months, and as a web developer, she goes, I knew something is wrong, and you brailled a blind mice radio manual, a blood pressure manual, and a heart monitor manual in one night. You must love me. And I said,
oh my gosh.
That's obvious. And I had to sleep the next day, the entire day, because I was so, but I was dedicated to doing that. And she said, I'm going to use all this.
Well, yeah, you do an awful lot for an awful lot of people, Miss Melody. So we are proud of you. And your braille experience is, your braille experience is amazing. That's very cool.
I wanted to offer to help. I've already offered the Braille ACB Ohio business cards, and I wanted to, if Jane needs help with the memorandum, you know, form, I might be able to crank a few copies once in a while if I just know where to send those things, even with everything in addition going on. And I do have so much that's affecting my use of Braille, so I am reading more by video. But I definitely want to help here because it's important that people get those copies in their hands.
We will talk, and you sound great tonight, dear one. We are so glad you're with us. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yep. Miss Sheila.
Area code 317, ending in 562. Could you please unmute and tell us who you are? Star 6 will unmute you.
And while she's doing that, or he's doing that, or the person.
There you are.
There they are. Yeah.
Here I am. Okay, this there is Jerry.
Hi, Jerry.
Hi there. I learned Braille when I was 7 years old, and the slate and stylus first.
How cool is that?
Very cool. I still think that you learn first on the Braille and the slate and stylus. But, you know, who am I?
You never got confused when you switched to the Perkins Brailler and had to write in the other direction?
Nope. Didn't confuse me at all. And I don't remember it ever confusing me. Matter of fact, the first Braille writer I saw was not a Perkins. It was before the Perkins came out. And I don't remember what it was, what kind it was.
People don't recognize that, but you know the Perkins Brailler I think only came out in 1949. Gosh, I was already 4.
I was older than that.
Yes, you were, Miss Cherry.
I was already, let's see, 38 to 49. I was already 11.
Yeah, that is amazing. Well, we missed you this summer at convention, Miss Coors.
Yeah, well, I was on it virtually, but I couldn't quite make it down there. Don was there.
He was there. I saw him.
Yeah, he was there, but I wasn't there. I couldn't do that.
Yeah. Well, we hope you'll come next year.
Well, no guarantees.
Gotcha.
Anyway, but I learned the slate and stylus, and the first thing they did was we had these little
they were pegboards.
Pegboards. Yeah,
yep.
They were metal pegboards, and they had that you had to put the you learn the letters by using the pegs. You know, dot one A, and then and mm-hmm. the dot two down, and then 3 across, and you had to practice. Then you do. You had the slate and stylus, and you practiced. And we had the books, you know, C, J, and Run, and all that.
Yep.
And you had Braille, grade one books that, you know, an empty line between the lines to start with.
Yep.
So you got used to reading it, and then you started reading them together. And so by the time I got, you know, out of first grade, I was, you know, reading, you know, beginner books in the library and everything. My mother was another one that she learned Braille, and she made, you know, copied books for me, stories and poems. And I still have four 3-ring binders of little poetry and prayers that she copied for me. And
that is amazing. Yep, that is amazing.
And you know, she would just write things that she found and copy them for me and give them to me and write to me in Braille. And when I was at school, so you know, she didn't do it later, but and a couple of one of my friends and even one of our kids, Joe, learned to write. He got online and it surprised me with he wrote me a birthday letter in Braille a few years back, and I still
have
it.
That is so cool. Yep.
And yeah, and he I kept that letter, and I still have it.
Well, that's excellent. Jerry, thank you so much for your. Yep.
I still think Slate and Stylus should be first.
Is the best way to start. That's interesting. I don't know how many people would agree with that. There's another question, and I don't know that we'll get to it tonight, but it's one of the big debates that goes on in Braille teaching. In this country, we tend to teach the alphabet and contractions pretty much at the same time. In other countries, even countries as close as Canada, they teach the alphabet first and don't even start contractions until after the whole alphabet has been learned and practiced for quite a long time. I'm not sure which is the best approach, but it's one of the big debates that goes on. I think the way we do it in this country is better. What do you think, Jerry?
I would agree with that.
Yeah.
The quicker you
learn.
That's
interesting because I.
Go ahead.
I remember learning them separately.
It's automatic. You know, we learned the alphabet first, yes. But, you know, when they started doing the grade one, what they called grade one and a half, with the, you know, TH signs and GH signs and those, we learned those first. And we didn't learn grade two for a while because it wasn't all out.
Yeah.
We learned that later.
Very good. And go ahead, the other person.
I think it was Chelsea.
Chelsea, go ahead. Was it you, Miss Chelsea? Go ahead. Maybe not. We scared him away. Miss Jerry, thank you so much for your call.
You're welcome.
Go ahead.
Hi, it was me, Chelsea. I couldn't find the mute. I lost the mute button. Yeah, that's interesting because I remember learning contractions later. Like I remember learning the alphabet in like kindergarten, and then contractions in second grade or third grade or something like that. I will disagree. My brain doesn't work with this late. It's weird.
Yep. Well, it's an interesting question. I think a lot of people who learn to use the Braille writer first never really get comfortable with using the slate and tend to become dependent on a Braille writer. Luckily, it's not such a big problem because there are, as you know, Chelsea, there are Braille displays which are quiet enough so you can use them for taking notes. But if you, a lot of the people who really are a little older had the experience that I had, which is going through college and trying to figure out a way where you can take enough notes In a situation where your professor wouldn't throw you out of the classroom because you were using a Perkins Brailler. So, yeah, got to be scary. Miss Sheila, how many more hands?
7.
Let's go.
I'm just sitting here laughing, Paul.
Yes.
Alice, go ahead.
Okay, thank you. And how heartwarming to hear all about these mothers who have worked so diligently with Braille and lovingly with Braille.
Yep.
But I will tell you just briefly that I want to put in a word about my dad.
That nice.
He, of course, I did not learn Braille until around 30. And I had this teacher, and her name was Alice. I taught myself, which was probably nice. Not the best. But my parents knew from a year before I started school, and I started in first grade because there was no kindergarten when I
right.
was young. And they knew that my vision was going. I had a concept of that idea when I was in second grade. I distinctly remember that. I did not become legally blind until 15. I lost my vision more completely shortly after 40. So mm-hmm. I've been about 3.5 decades of no usable vision. But when I finally decided the doctors were wrong and I was going to learn Braille, and I taught myself, my dad did make these wooden blocks and he drilled holes into them, and I got out my old marbles and used the marbles in the holes. And then later,
what a good idea,
when I received my second master's from Western Michigan University in what was then called blind rehabilitation,
mm-hmm.
he made more of those so I could use them when I was teaching adults as well. But I just appreciated his doing those. And I still have some of those around as just little memory pieces of him. But my idea when I was teaching Braille, and I had taught in a traditional classroom prior to my 6 years of teaching Braille. And then I went mm-hmm. back to teaching college level after I had taught Braille for a number of years and other rehab subjects as well. But
what do you think of the way that Braille is being taught in places like Western Michigan?
Well, when I was there, we were blessed to have Paul Poncilla there.
Yes.
Yep. And
he's an amazing guy. Amazing. I do know Paul.
And he was
there a do.
Great mentor to me.
And Sue as well.
Oh, my goodness, yes. And so that was an extraordinary time there. And I really felt as I was learning, you know, to teach Braille and teaching Braille, that to me it was very important. I found with my adult students, and I've only taught adults, that as they were learning Braille to read, the same time it was very important that they learn to write Braille. That
yes.
those acts together, I think, really did help to let them learn Braille more quickly. Mm-hmm. And I know some people today do not believe that. They want to teach just the reading of Braille and then afterwards teach the writing. But I think it must be done simultaneously to
Absolutely.
Achieve the greatest outcomes.
Yeah.
And to make the students happier and more enthused about learning of Braille. So that's one thing. The other thing I found when I was teaching Braille, and I don't know if this would be true with all students, but if you all remember who had some usable vision in younger years, when we used those Dick and Jane books or whatever came after that, the print was much larger.
Yep.
And then we went to standard size print in later years. And my theory about that was that perhaps we should consider having large cell Braille or jumbo dot Braille initially and then go to standard size Braille and see if I tried that with one younger person in particular, for whom it was very successful. She just thought she could not read Braille. So I started her on the large cell, and then she very successfully transitioned to standard dot Braille. And so I just have always wondered about that, if I were still teaching Braille, if I would try that more than I did when I was a full-time instructor of Braille. Uh-huh. And I just really feel that attitude is just so large a percent of the game. The teacher must have the right attitude, very positive attitude, and bring that good and positive attitude out in the student as well. And I just feel that's so, so very important. We do yep. not see that enough with teachers who are sighted. Right. I think right. sometimes those of us who have learned Braille later in life, or, you know, even as young adults, that we do bring to our teaching of adults something, a little different perspective than
yep, yep.
children who have learned Braille from age 3 to 6.
Yep.
And
yep.
so I just think about that also. I hope I'm a great proponent of Braille. It means so much to me. I use it daily. Whatever I did with my students, my greatest feat was that I could read Braille, reach across the table and read Braille upside down.
Yep.
And I think all Braille teachers need to do that. But it's
I
just,
think that's right. I so but when I was teaching Braille, I had to do that as well.
Yeah.
So I think you're absolutely right.
But thank you so much.
Miss Alice, thank you. Miss mm-hmm. Sheila.
All right. 585 ending in 954. I think I know who this is. Hannah, is that you?
I'm afraid so.
Hey, Miss Hannah.
Hi. Well, let's see. I, too, learned Braille from my mom, but she's also, she and I both were visually impaired. We both had low vision when I learned Braille, which I was 15, but up to that point, I could still, well, I was born legally blind, and so was she. We could both read print, especially with a CCTV. Mm-hmm. So her, around the time I was 15, her sight was starting to go, and, you know, she and my dad realized the same thing might happen to me, so they decided it was time for me to learn Braille. And I have to say, I really enjoyed learning Braille, and I think the timing was perfect, and this is how I first caught on to Braille. I happened to be reading a school textbook, which is in print, but just happened to have something in it about Braille, and I saw under a CCTV simulated Braille, and the 6-dot cell with a number by each of the dots, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I, oh, okay, that's how Braille works. You know, before that, it just felt like a bunch of confusing dots.
Right.
But I will emphasize, I learned to read tactily. I did not learn to read with my eyes. I don't think that would
Excellent.
Work anyway. And I will say, I actually started, okay, so she taught me the alphabet first, and I don't remember the exact chronology. That was like 25 years ago. Oops, did I just give away my age? So she taught me how to use the Perkins Brailler.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I learned the alphabet. I thought, oh, I know Braille now. I said, you know, no, you got to learn the contractions too. So, so I really enjoyed learning the contractions. I think I wish there were more of them when I learned them.
Right.
And so she would, one thing she would do for me is she'd write something out in uncontracted Braille and have me rewrite it in contracted Braille. And that really helped me catch on to the contractions. And she taught me the contractions out of a little booklet that she had, that she'd had for, you know, a long time. And she did teach me how to use the slate and stylus. I didn't quite catch on to it at first, but I have to say that now I like both the slate and stylus and the Perkins Brailler. I love both of them. Depends what I'm doing. I use them interchangeably, and I like reading books. I read, you know, I especially love the Zoomax e-reader. I just got my first one last December, and I'm still on my first one, as I tell people.
Excellent.
I got one that worked. I don't know, but I really enjoy it. It makes Braille a lot more convenient. And I'm currently enrolled in the Braille transcribing course, you know, through the Library of Congress. And so far, waiting for a lesson right now, but so far I managed to pass every lesson on the first try. So that's
I'm impressed, Miss Hannah. That is so cool.
Yeah, the first, you know, I'm not sure how many lessons are actually reasonably easy. So I don't know what it'll be like later on. And I also enjoy working with the Braille Room calls, which are on ACB on Sunday night and
yep.
Tuesday night. I really enjoy working with those, and it's been a great way to, you know, help people learning Braille and have fun and make some new friends.
Yeah, and also get an opportunity to reinforce your understanding of the rules, which is pretty cool. Miss Hannah, thank you so much for your call. Yep.
Oh, you're welcome.
Yep. Miss Sheila. Yep.
Carolyn?
This is probably going to be our last call, Miss Carolyn, and you only have about 2 minutes.
Oh, well, I will take them. My name is Carol, and I am probably one of the few on this, maybe not on this call, but I just started learning Braille it's been a year and a half.
Excellent.
And I am 80 years old, 81.
Thank you for doing that.
Well, I love it. And I learned it initially through the Hadley program, and mm-hmm. I have to rave about it. It is excellent. It's through audio, and they send books and some practice notes. But I will tell you the reason, one of the big reasons that I've continued is, thank you, Hannah, just before me, is the ACB calls with Dorlan on, Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday, actually.
Yep.
And those are wonderful to be reading with other people and learning and doing that. And I am just learning. I learned the alphabet first and then am now learning the
contractions.
The contractions. But since I can, and now of course I'm reading children's books, which I just love. I love going backwards in reading to reading what I read as a child. So it's just delightful. But I do love Braille. It's keeping my brain actually really, really heavy to work. And that's what I wanted. Thanks.
Thank you, Miss Carol. So how many people did we miss, Miss Sheila?
Four.
Yep. All right. We're very sorry that we're probably not going to have enough time to get to you four. Madam President, I am so glad we got to talk about BRL plans for next year.
That's okay. I'll just make them up as I go along.
So we can probably postpone that and make it at least our first activity right away in our next Braille Buzz. So why don't we do that? Because I've got a couple of ideas in terms of what I'd like to do with the next one. I think I'm going to invite some folks to come who have invented and are marketing a new device that some of you may have heard of, but I think you'll be interested in hearing from some of the developers of this product. And it's called the Braille Doodle. And it is it's a device that is mechanical and uses a bunch of ball bearings inside of a device with holes on both sides. One side is for practicing Braille, and the other side is for making pictures. So I think people will enjoy hearing about it and hearing about how it was developed. I think it's one of the few products that was developed essentially using a GoFundMe page. So we will incorporate that into our next call, and I will give folks a chance to see if somebody wants to have a last word before we end the call. Otherwise, we are about
Mr. Paul.
Sir.
Ralph,
go ahead.
Just for the record, the memorandum deadline for articles is September 15. If anyone wants to send in an article, send it to REDBIRD26 bellsouth.net. Thank you.
And that red bird stands for the St. Louis Cardinals.
Amen.
It's not like he's a baseball fan or anything. Miss Denise, any final words?
No, just thank you, everyone. I hope that this was enlightening and interesting to people. And please come back.
Yep. Anybody else going once? Going twice? Miss Sheila.
I have a request. Yes. That we keep the names of the four individuals so that they can speak next time.
Oh, that would be wonderful.
Yep. Can we do that, Miss Sheila? Do you remember who they were?
Well, I can remember three because one's a phone number. So
okay.
Yes. Rhonda Jackson, Jan, and Diane Scalzi, and then a 615 area code. So
Carol Francisco, I'm the 615.
Okay, thank you, Carol.
All right. And that's a good idea. Thank you. So, in fact, you know, Sheila, if you don't care, we can actually go on and fit those guys in now, really.
Go for it.
Yay.
All right. So who Jan. Wants to go first?
Jan is first. Mm-hmm.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes,
we can.
Okay. I know this was primarily for Braille learners, but I was a Braille learner and then I was a Braille teacher. I want to address the introduction of the slate as early as first grade. I taught some boys whose kindergarten teacher taught them that an F was a backwards D and a J was a backwards H. And an I with a backwards E. And those boys had reversal problems their whole life because the brain is plastic and can't handle that kind of reasoning until after about age 8. And so it's a problem to do flight and stylus earlier than age 8. That was my major concern. When I learned to use the flight and stylus, I was 9. I had never learned my dot numbers. I just knew which buttons to push on the Perkins.
Uh-huh.
And so I made my students memorize dot numbers. And I have found, and I don't know whether it's because the causes of blindness cause other things, but I have found in the 17 years that I taught at School for the Blind, I had very few students who could write with a slate because they just couldn't make that backward transition. The other thing is that my kids love tactiles. They're way too expensive for most people, but you might be able to do things like that with multiple Braille Lego blocks. But I could throw out a handful and say, find me all the E's and, you know, whatever. And the only problem I ever had doing that was the kids love to build with them. And I had to go and destroy things.
All kinds of houses and castles.
Yes.
We appreciate your information. It was really valuable. Thank you for your call.
And
you're welcome.
That's Jan Barco from Mississippi.
Hawthorne.
Hawthorne. Okay. I knew that voice.
Yep. Jan, thank you for your call. That's exciting.
I haven't seen
you for a long time, Miss Jan.
Good to talk to you.
Yep. Miss Diane.
Okay, can you hear me?
Yes.
We can.
All right. Oh, thank you. And I'm glad you let us all in. Well, okay. I started learning Braille in kindergarten. I went to a school for the blind, and at the school, they had pegboards too, but I think ours were made out of wood, but they had, you know, the cells. They had several. There would be a line with several cells on it, and there were actually several lines on the pegboard, so you could put multiple Braille, I guess, if you wanted to. And on the right-hand side of it, there was a metal tray where the pegs were kept.
Mm-hmm.
And our kindergarten teacher would leave on our table, you know, at our place, she would leave a pegboard with a letter, a single letter in the upper left-hand corner, the first cell, and we would have to make a whole line, you know, by copying what she put. we need to make a whole line of the letter that she was teaching us. And I was so slow at it. It was awful. I oftentimes had to stay after school to finish mine because it took me so long to do them. I'm glad that I got faster at learning Braille as the time went by. But anyway, my grandmother in our family, it was my grandmother on my father's side that learned Braille.
Nice.
And she became a certified Library of Congress Braille transcriber. And I'd gone to public school by then. When she was learning, and by the time she finished, and she had transcribed several of my school books for me because they couldn't get them from any other place. And I was just so happy that she did that for me. And I had an itinerant teacher, and she also knew Braille, and she was very good. So,
When did you learn to use the slate, Diane?
It was my grandmother that taught me how to use the slate and stylus, because I didn't have a chance to learn it either in public school from my itinerant teacher or at the school for the blind, because I'd left, I think they would have started teaching it to kids in like second or third grade or something. So it was my grandmother that taught me how to use the slate and stylus. And and I'm not real good at it. I had to pass a slate and stylus test in Arkansas before I could take the tax class that I took.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to be able to transcribe correctly 12 words a minute. And I could not do it because my arm just got so tired that, you know, I'd slow down, and the only way I could pass that slate test was to learn grade 3 Braille. You know, because then I could write more words
more quickly with fewer letters.
Right, exactly. So that was the only, but they let me do that, and that's what I did.
Excellent.
Yeah. So I'm a very strong believer in Braille, and I'm going to work on an article for the memorandum about the lady that transcribed Braille at the school for the blind that I went to and how she did it.
Excellent. Ralph will be overjoyed.
Yeah, I need to get that written in. So when did he say it was due?
September 15th.
Okay, I will try to get it done by then. But yeah, it was very interesting to learn how she did it. So,
thank you, Miss Diane.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Yep, Miss Sheila.
Miss Carol.
Hi. I was very lucky. Am I unmuted? I hope.
Yes, you are. Yes, you're good, Miss Carol.
Okay. I was very lucky to have a young blind man in my public school outside Chicago who taught us. And we had the pegboard. In fact, it was one of those big ones, and he would actually have us write small words with it, which was kind of unique. But I do believe you need to learn to read and write at the same time. We learned our contractions all together, too, right along with the alphabet. Didn't learn slate until I was about 9 years old, where it almost got bad. It wouldn't happen nowadays, but they had something called grade 1.5 back then. And my dad was supposed to be transferred to a new job in another state. Can't remember which, maybe North or South Dakota. But my folks, even though neither one of them knew Braille, they knew what grade 2 Braille was. And the instructors up there tried to tell them that it was okay if all I learned was 1.5, that was all I would need, which was totally wrong. And luckily, my dad did not take the position, or my education would have gotten
much
totally
worse.
Screwed up. Yes. So, very
excellent.
Lucky.
Excellent. And the teachers that you had were pretty good, Miss Carol?
Oh, absolutely. Yes. I ended up going to school for the blind for high school because the public school wouldn't take us after eighth grade. But by that time, I knew all my Braille and everything, and I learned to type when I was 9 years old. I even learned Braille music at 9 years old, although I don't remember any of it. So I got all of it. Oh, yeah.
Excellent. Thank you, Ms. Carroll.
Mm-hmm. All right, Rhonda.
It's Rhonda.
Hi there.
Hi there.
First of all, I just want to say that I'm honored to be here, and I thank Jane for sending me these emails. I am a sighted person, and I just got my degree as a TVI.
Excellent. So,
and I'm on here because I wanted to get ideas. I want to be even a better teacher. What's really interesting in the public school where I work, even though we have students that are visually impaired, they're very few Braille students. I'm fortunate enough to have one of them. He's a little guy, only 6 years old. But in addition to being visually impaired, he also is autistic. So yep. And actually, most of the students in our school system who are blind also have another disability. With him, he's a very tactile learner. And I am just trying to figure out, like, I started working with him a couple of years ago, and his teachers. So I really feel like I need to do some sort of professional development with the teachers, the general education teachers, because they just don't, you know, this little guy on top of, like I said, being blind, he also is autistic, and he's not going to, even though he's in a class with other kids that are autistic, he's the only child that's also blind. And so the teacher is very visual. I mean, she's talking about the blue sky and, you know, my little guy isn't going to understand those things. And I really think I need to do some professional development with the teachers. But I'm also trying to figure out, like, he loves little songs, and I'm so proud of him because now, you know, when we do head, shoulders, knees and toes, he knows, like, when I say point to your head, like, he knows where his head is. I've brailled as many things as I can in the classroom.
Uh-huh.
I am going to be doing this school year, because our kids haven't started back yet, but doing a tactile schedule with him, because I think he's at the point where he can do that. Like I said, he's only 6 years old. So I'm just on here. I'm learning so much from all of you, and just, you know, hopefully make a connection with somebody that one of the teachers on, because I want to be a better teacher. I want to learn. I find Braille to be fascinating. And
So I'll make just one comment, and then I'll see if anybody else wants to. And the comment that I would make is to thank you for doing what you're doing. There are a lot of teachers who would have taken the approach that even though the youngster was blind, his autism takes precedence, and so there's no point in even trying to teach him Braille. I think that's wrong.
I do too, and
I think it has far too often been the rule that's been followed by school systems. When I worked with multiply disabled kids or adults in terms of trying to teach them Braille, what I did was to get to know the kid first, and then decide on specific things like you did with songs that would begin to motivate that kid, because every child is different, and frankly, every adult is different as well. So I think you're right on target in terms of looking at what the individual child is likely to learn the most. Is there anybody else who wants to jump in and offer this lady some advice or make a comment?
Well, Rhonda, what I can tell you is I worked in the Orange County Public Schools here in Florida for 14 years, and I worked with blind and autistic children.
Mm-hmm.
So if you would like to reach out to me, Jane has my contact information.
Oh, that would be wonderful. And
so
I
can put you, Sheila.
Sheila, okay.
And I can put you in contact with some people who have got a whole lot more experience than I do. But while I was working, I learned so much. So.
Oh, wow. That would be wonderful. Because, you know, these programs were in these programs, but they're like my program was all online. And I just feel like with the technology and I don't know, some other things, it's just hard to get a feel for things. I don't know. I think it's really important to have a mentor because it's one thing to learn from the books, but it's a whole nother thing when you're actually
Amen.
With the kiddos. And I, you know. It hasn't been easy for me, but I'm going to hang in there and I'm going to do the best that I know how. And this just seemed like a great way to start.
And thank you for doing what you're doing for him.
Right. And Sheila is a great contact. And we particularly appreciate your turning up and listening to us. So thank you so much for being here.
Oh, this is great. I have one more last question. The thing that you're going to talk about next time, you called it the Braille. I was trying to write it down. That sounds really interesting.
What we are going to the Braille Doodle, D-O-O-D-L-E.
Yes. Okay, thank you.
And we're actually going to have some of the people who developed it on the program describe it and to talk about exactly how it works. And I think it would have some real value for folks in the classroom who are teaching Braille, and that's one of the places they're marketing it. And the nice thing is it's not horribly expensive. I think the bigger one is like under $200, so it's not horrible.
Oh wow, that sounds really nice. Jane, I'll reach out to you in an email to get Sheila's contact information.
Excellent.
I will send an email to each of you right after this call ends so that you can talk to each other.
Thank you, Jane.
Oh, thank you so much.
As soon as this call is over.
And got one more hand. Tina, I'm not sure if you had your hand.
Go ahead, Tina.
I just want to interject about the Braille Doodle. On Kickstarter, they were $75, and I ordered a couple of them. And they're not shipping quite yet, but they're working on that shortly. So I hope you have one this fall sometime.
Exactly. Well, you can come on and tell us how you're enjoying it. I got a chance to play with one at the ACB convention. I think Denise did as well. Did you not, Miss Denise? Yes. No. Can't remember.
Ralph Smitherman did.
Yeah, Ralph did.
Yes, Ralph, I did get to see it. I got to see it and play with it also. Yes.
Yeah. So.
It's very interesting.
It is, and so I think everybody will enjoy it, and I'll try to do an ad in advance that will tell people why they ought to be there. But if you think of a Braille etch-a-sketch, that's really very much what this device at least potentially is. And so if you can imagine what you could do with an etch-a-sketch that folks could see in terms of drawing houses and graphs and all kinds of really cool things very, very easily, and very quickly, which is one of the cool things about it. So anyway, that is for next time on the Braille Buzz. In the meantime, thank you everyone for being here. Sheila, thank you for staying overtime. You're the best.
You're welcome.
And everybody, we truly appreciate all of you who were here. I think we went in a slightly different direction. I'm not sure how I would summarize what we learned tonight, but I think that in general, what came across is three things. One, we can't do without mothers. Number
and
two,
fathers and fathers.
Yep, or fathers. Number two, I think we established that Braille is best learned when people are really having fun and are fully engaged in the process. And third, I think we learned that I was right with what I said at the beginning. The people who know best how to tell others how to teach Braille are the folks who use it every day. Thanks, everyone. Good night.
Night.
I'm ending the call for all.
Very good.
Good night, everybody.